Get ready for your daily dose of WordPress and web development tips, tricks, and insights to help you find success with WordPress. You're listening to WP the Podcast with your hosts, David Blackman and Tim Streifler.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of WP the Podcast brought to you by WP Gears. I'm David Blackman.
And I'm Tim Streifler.
Tim, today we're going to talk about the biggest GDPR myths debunked. You recently did quite a bit of research on GDPR. It's something that has been on everybody who has a website, basically's minds. Us being over here in the U.S., having to follow European laws is kind of different, but I understand where they're coming from. You know, yeah. I mean, European visitors do visit our site. So I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 20% of our visitors and stuff actually come from the European Union. So technically, you know, I guess if the European Union wanted to and we weren't 100% compliant with GDPR, they could come after us. And, you know, we're going to kind of talk about, you know, some of the things that myths and things that you've, you know, feel like you really don't need to worry about because you've done the research and stuff. So take it away, Tim.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm not going to go into what GDPR is. We've talked about that on a past episode. More than likely, everyone already knows what GDPR is. I want to talk about some of the big myths, some of the things that people are saying that, oh, I have to go do this, have to do that, when in, you know, 95% of the cases, they don't. And so the first thing is you don't need checkboxes on forms. So that's opt-in forms, contact forms. There are cases where it might be necessary, but people think that if there's an opt-in form or a contact form, you have to have a checkbox that says, I consent to, you know, blah, blah, blah. More often than not, just a simple change to the copy, the headline, the text is going to make it fully GDPR compliant. GDPR, it's all about giving the users privacy, their data back to them, giving them control over that so they can do whatever they want with it, whether it's remove consent, you know, the right to be forgotten, knowing what's going to happen up front. And so with forms, opt-in forms and contact forms, as long as it's clear what you're doing, so for an opt-in form, you know, hey, we're going to send you emails when you subscribe. You know, it's pretty transparent. The big one is when there's, you know, like freebies or incentives, lead magnets. People think that, oh, you have to have the lead magnet separate from the email list subscription. And that is false. As long as it's clear that you will be subscribing to this email list and we're also going to give you this bonus, them putting in their email address and hitting submit is consent. You don't need anything additional from that. So that's a big myth. The second one on the list, and David, feel free to jump in if you have any comments here. I know you wanted me to kind of run with this, but feel free to interrupt me.
No, I'm not going to interrupt you because you did a pretty thorough and in-depth job, and I'm perfectly okay with you running with it. If I do want to comment on it, I will.
Awesome. Sounds good. And so and by the way, too, we have a link to my blog post on Divi Life. You know, I think it's 2,800 words long, and there's a 45-minute video. And so I'm not going to recap everything. You can, you know, read more in depth in the article. I'm kind of just hitting the bullet points here. The next one, big myth, is consent. You don't need to get consent for every single cookie or script that runs on your site. You've probably seen them now on different websites where a website will say, you know, there'll be a really ugly looking, you know, pop-up that will say, you know, we use cookies and here's all the different cookies that we use. And I have it broken down into categories. There's a few different popular tools out there that will do it. And you can like optionally consent to like the different categories of cookies. And it's just really ugly. It's a bad user experience. And yeah, it's just really terrible. That you don't need to do that. It depends on if the cookie or script is going to be collecting or tracking any personally identifiable information. So, for example, everyone thinks, oh, people have to opt into Google Analytics. That's not true. If you make sure that Google Analytics isn't tracking any personal information. And in most cases, it's not. You have IP address anonymization turned on, which is easy to do. I explain it in my blog post. Then you're good to go. If Google Analytics isn't accidentally capturing personal info, and the way that could happen is if you have some sort of form that's passing a form parameter with their email or name to a URL, and then Google Analytics is capturing that, then that could be a bad thing, and you need to, you know, do that audit and make sure that's not happening. And again, I have some steps in the blog post to do that. But in most cases, Google Analytics isn't doing any personally identifiable information. Everything's anonymous. The analytics is just to see, you know, you can study how users are using your own site, where they're coming from geographically, where they're coming from, you know, what website links they're clicking on to get to your site. That's not personally identifiable information. And so you don't need to get consent for that. And you also don't need to get consent for any other cookie that is on your site, unless it's in some way capturing personal information. So another one, I have two plugins called Divi Overlays and Divi Bars. And a lot of people think that you have to get consent for those plugins to run on the site, because there's a feature in the plugin that if it's an optional feature, but if the customer turns it on and their user closes the bar or pop-up, then that it installs a cookie so that it won't keep popping up again every time they go to a new page. It's a user experience feature. It uses a simple cookie that doesn't store any personal information, doesn't track IP addresses. All it does is install a cookie in the browser, and then the next time they come to the site or a different page, the plugin code will say, hey, does that cookie exist? And if it does, then it won't display the pop-up again. Or if it doesn't, then it will. And so it's just a simple little cookie. That's not personal information. You don't have to get consent for that type of cookie. So that's the second myth. Let me know, David, if anything was confusing and you want me to touch on it again. Okay. And so the third myth on the list is you don't need to send a re-engagement email to all subscribers. We've all received all of these emails from companies saying, hey, we've updated our privacy policy, and if you want to keep getting emails from us, you need to click this link. That's not true. If you have an email list, and as long as you have prior consent, then that consent carries over. It's not like GDPR is like a reset button. You have to go and like get everyone's permission again to send them emails. That's not true. If you don't have the proof, then maybe to be safe, you could send a re-engagement letter or a re-engagement email to all subscribers. But if you can, you know, have some sort of documentation that shows like, this is how I got my subscribers. And, you know, like, for example, on my website, I have lead magnets for different freebies or, you know, content upgrades, whatever you want to call them. And, people opted in for them, and I have the proof, and I could show that, hey, they got this freebie, they subscribed on this date, boom. That's all the proof I need. And so in most cases, you don't have to send a re-engagement email. All it's going to do is people aren't going to click on it, and you're going to have a very, very significantly smaller email list than you otherwise would have. And some people will argue, okay, well, it's better to have a quality email list than, you know, just a bunch of people that don't really want to be there, which is true. But when every company in the world is sending out these re-engagement letters, people are just ignoring them. They're not clicking the stay on email list button because they're just sick of getting all these GDPR emails. And so, you know, in general, yes, doing an email clean is a good thing. Keep the people that are engaged are on there. But yeah, the re-engagement email is not necessary for GDPR in most cases.
Awesome.
Those are the three myths debunked. I realize I talked really fast, but I didn't want this episode to be 45 minutes long. So link in the show notes to the full blog post, as well as the 45-minute video where I kind of go into depth with these things.
Well, the good news is that I'll get to talk in tomorrow's episode, which is a great one. Should you bring clients onto your internal communications platforms? And I'm just kind of joking there. I knew Tim would be doing most of the talking in this episode because, you know what? He did all the research. He went and took the time and wrote an in-depth article on his site, divilife.com. And it was a really great job. Recorded a 45-minute video as well that kind of walked you through and truthfully set my mind at ease. I'm glad there's people like Tim to go do that so that I can, you know, sleep easier at night and stuff instead of, you know, reacting to all of the insanity that goes on in the world sometimes, the chain reaction of things.
So. Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, tomorrow we've got a great episode. Until tomorrow, we'll see you then.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We've come to the end of today's episode of WP the Podcast. Join us tomorrow for more daily tips and strategies designed to help you run your WordPress business towards success. Remember to subscribe to WP the Podcast so you can stay up to date with each episode. And don't forget to rate and review us. We'll see you again tomorrow, right here on WP the Podcast.